This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
This week, the American Academy of Pediatrics made a significant change to its policy on circumcision. The AAP had previously taken a neutral stance on the procedure, but yesterday the physicians group announced that it now believes the health benefits of circumcision outweigh the risks. The recommendation touched off a new round of impassioned debate over the actual costs and benefits of circumcision, leaving parents possibly more confused than ever about just what's best for their boys. Rachel Zimmerman, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, reported on the story and joins us now. Hi there, Rachel.
Hey, Meghna. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So the American Academy of Pediatrics cited specific benefits for circumcision. What did they say?
Back in 1999, the American Academy of Pediatrics had issued their earlier recommendations on circumcision. Basically, it was neutral. So what they did on Monday was come back to this issue and basically say the health benefits outweigh the risks. They say that the health benefits, for instance, decreased numbers of urinary tract infections, penile cancer, lower rates of transmission of some sexually transmitted infections, notably HIV, justify circumcision, but they can't recommend that for all babies. And the bottom line is parents should decide for themselves what's best for their children.
So a shift in their view regarding what some scientific studies may say, but as you were saying, the American Academy of Pediatrics still says it's up to parents.
However, the other change that is significant is that they say the health benefits are enough to warrant insurance coverage for the procedure, which they had not stated in the earlier recommendation. So that's a big difference. And government insurance, Medicaid, had also used the lack of AAP backing for this procedure as a justification for not covering the procedure in certain states.
Well, Rachel, I'd like to bring another voice into this conversation. He's Dr. Marvin Wang, co-director of the Newborn Nurseries at Mass General Hospital for Children. Dr. Wang, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dr. Wang, before we get into this, the latest round of scientific studies that the American Academy of Pediatrics looked at, I wonder if we could step back a little, because I understand that right now about 50 to 55% of young boys or infant boys are circumcised. Whereas a generation ago, that percentage was much, much higher. What's accounted for this long-term drop?
So that 50 to 55% estimate comes from the CDC, which is based primarily on hospital circumcisions done. And so it possibly underestimates the total number of circumcisions done in the United States. But certainly that is a steady decline and a much smaller percentage compared to 40 years ago when, and even 50 years ago when the circumcision rate was probably up to about almost 100%. A lot of that downward shift has to do with some interesting cultural and historical changes over the time, but also it has a lot to do with research that's been coming in over the course of the last 20 or 30 years or so that casts doubt on the significant health benefits of circumcision. They basically have shown on the whole that boys who are circumcised really aren't that much healthier than boys who are uncircumcised.
Okay, so then help me understand, because what happened between 1999 and now that refutes this steady stream of research that you were just talking about?
For most of the things that we've been looking at, a lot of that stuff hasn't changed. The numbers have been pretty much the same. But I think the game changer happened about 5 or 6 years ago with clinical trials done in sub-Saharan Africa, where they took uncircumcised adult men and gave them the opportunity to have the circumcision. When they followed those men through time, they found that those particular men had a 50% reduction in acquiring HIV compared to men who were uncircumcised. Those things have sort of tilted the balance towards being able to say, you know what, there is a more significant health benefit that parents should be aware of.
But Dr. Wang, I have to ask, because when we're looking at studies that are based on research done on men in sub-Saharan Africa, we're talking about a population where, first of all, they're adults, and second of all, the prevalence of HIV/AIDS is just astronomically higher than it is on average in the United States. So how can we take those studies and apply them to choices that parents may have to make here in the United States for their newborn boys?
I think because of that reason, that is why you've seen such a delay from the onset of those studies to this current set of recommendations from the AAP. Yeah, how do you justify adult men in a third world country where HIV is that much more prevalent versus developed countries and newborns where HIV is not so prevalent. And I think that's the difficulty in being able to make a full recommendation and saying that circumcision could potentially prevent HIV. I think people are afraid to make that connection because we haven't really done those studies yet in looking at newborns in particular.
Hmm. Rachel, this isn't the first time that Common Health has approached the topic of circumcision. Last time you covered it, there was quite a bit of controversy on the blog. It's a controversial topic. It gets
right.
people
every
really
time. Every time we write about it, it's controversial. And let's not forget what this is about. I mean, this is involving pain and a newborn and cutting the foreskin of the penis. It's a serious choice as a parent you have to make. Last week we wrote about the costs associated with this decline in circumcision. And the comments were some very angry, and many of the comments were along the lines of one guy who wrote in and said, the only person who should decide this is the owner of the penis.
Dr. Wang, I think one of the things that strikes me most about this recommendation and this topic has a lot to do with what Rachel just said. It's the perfect example of what you must have to deal with every day in your practice, that where there's this whole world of medicine and medical studies, but what it comes down to are individual choices that patients, and in this case, parents have to make. And I say this because I was looking at the Washington Post this morning and I saw this quotation from Douglas DeKemma. He was one of the doctors who served on the American Academy of Pediatrics task force that wrote the report. And he basically said that even though there's new science that led the AAP to make this new recommendation, he also added that, quote, in the case of circumcision, the likelihood that the benefits would accrue to an individual child are relatively small. So when it comes down to it, every day in your office, how are you going to approach this with parents when they come and ask you, what should I do that's best for my son?
Yeah, I mean, up until yesterday, I had the same mantra that I go through with parents. And now, today, I have to sort of finagle that and add the caveat that, well, you know what? There is a little bit more health benefit, and so we are kind of encouraging it, but the decision is still yours, and I still want you to think more about family health, social and religious reasons to balance all of that together for your decision for wanting or not wanting it. Let's not forget that this is a surgery. So this is not a procedure without risk. So all the things that we associate with surgery, you know, things like bleeding and infection and, you know, in this particular case, damage to the area you're cutting into, damage to the penis is always going to be possible. And that's what I impart to the parents every time I tell them at the same time that, yeah, there could be benefits of circumcision. Let's also remember there are risks involved too.
Well, Dr. Marvin Wang is co-director of the Newborn Nurseries at Mass General Hospital for Children. Dr. Wang, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure for being here.
And Rachel Zimmerman, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, thanks as always to you.
Thanks, Magna.
And listeners, there will be a link to Rachel's reporting on the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendation at our website, radioboston.org.
And stay with us. Coming up, 44 years of great stories from Boston Globe veteran sports writer Bob Ryan. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.